Us the Serenity Prayer in Irish.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead, Mary, unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Aia, hordam an sognas con glaco le rudi nach feidir lama ahru. An mishnach con rea ahru nur is feidir. Agus an ochna hon an fiach a ahens. Pass.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Mary.
Mary.
So, I'm Louisa, a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen. Yvonne, again, happy, happy birthday to you, my beautiful friend. Thank you for the gift that you've given me and reminding me how much I grow, I learn, and I love when I am willing to serve both my God and our fellowship. Welcome to this meeting hosted by members from Ireland. We will spend the next 40 minutes or so hearing the experiences of Step 10 by Mary S. from County Mayo and Noreen M. from Kilkenny, Ireland. Mary, I'm going to remind you of a time when you have 1 minute remaining. I love you, Mary, and thank you for being willing to share with us. Over to you.
you so much, Louisa. And thank you, Yvonne, for hosting the whole convention. First of all, my name is Mary, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. I come from a small town, as Louise said, in the west of Ireland, in Mayo, a population of about 2,000 people. So consequently, we have a very small group. But that's so important to me. And I come from a family of seven. I'm the eldest. My parents had a very happy marriage. There wasn't alcoholism in my family at all, so I had no idea about it. I had a lot of support, great fun, and an awful lot of support from my family, my father in particular. So a lot of encouragement to carry on and do things and whatever. So I, being the eldest, caretaking was in my nature. So when I finished my education, I left home and to join the civil service in Dublin, which I loved. Getting into the big city and carrying on, and I got going and made a lot of friends. So I loved dancing, and I met my husband. When I met him first, he was a very kind, gentle person, and we had a lot in common, and spent much time together. But when he started to drink, he went absolutely crazy. He was totally unreliable. I had no idea whether it was coming or going, so it was a very rocky start. But there were a lot of promises, and they're broken. And but the big makeup came, and it was like that as it went along. But I loved very much, and we finally got married. And I was very naive. Looking back on it now, I really was. Now, I automatically assumed that he would turn out to be like my father, very, take care of me and whatever. But anyhow, I discovered infidelity, and when I did, I was absolutely devastated, stunned. I lost my voice in an episode, and I was shocked to the point where I couldn't believe it. I finding the truth then became the most important thing for me. And it became an obsession. And even more so because of the infidelity. I found myself doing things that I would be ashamed of, and that I really, really cringe, when I think about them. Not so much now, but at that particular time. Covered up, I told lies. I totally told so many lies to my family. I'm talking about my family of origin, my parents. I was so ashamed. Packed them off, and I continued to just go into myself even more, neglected myself a lot. But the obsession took over, and I now know today that that was the biggest part of the disease that I suffered from. I fed the disease through that in a different way. I neglected my children because I was frozen. I had no emotional contact, really. That was today, that pains me gratefully, but I have made amends with them. And we have a much better relationship with the three of them today. But as I said, the obsession took over and I neglected myself to the point where I wasn't eating properly, I wasn't sleeping. And in the end, I remember thinking, I will just fall down and somebody will pick me up. And that's exactly what happened. And I ended up in a psychiatric hospital. And that was the best thing that could have happened at the time because it restored my physical well-being at that particular time. Regularized my life. So, but the obsession was still there. So I found my way, when I came out, I found my way to Al-Anon. And I knew I was in the right place instinctively from the first moment I went there. I had gone lots of places for help before that, but it was always for my husband. I could never see what it was doing to me at all. I would get a lot of sympathy and go home and be even more full of self-pity. And it went on like that. And through the grace of God, I got a sponsor who led me gently, defrosted my feelings, is the only way I can describe it today, little by little. I continued to go, but we read the literature. At that time, it wasn't really Al-Anon at all. It was like a self-pity club. We just talked about what he did last. And people would have different ideas about what I could do next week. I mean, looking back, it was so crazy. But I still knew I was in the right place. People understood me for the first time for a long time. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go to conventions. And when I heard other people and their level of recovery, I knew there was so much more there. And then I got a sponsor who took me through the steps. When we started off, the first step was the most difficult for me. I knew my life was unmanageable, but couldn't be powerless. I was still trying to change him. But as I said, it got to the point where I finally gave in, that I just had to stop doing what I was doing. It was damaging everyone in the house. And then when it came to step two, I was in despair for a long time. I had been brought up in a religious family, but when I examined it, I realized I was just pious. It was just on the surface. I really didn't have a relationship with God. And it was also seeing the coincidences happen, not alone in my life, but in other people's lives, that I began to see that there was some power out there. And then I finally came to believe in my higher power. Today, that's the most important relationship in my life. So it was easy when it came to the third step to hand over my life and will over to the care of God. And that's so important every day for me. And when it came to doing step four, that was much more difficult. It took a lot of writing, a lot of thinking, a lot of dodging too, in situations that I didn't want to come to terms with. There was a lot of pride involved, and I could rationalize a lot of things. But I kept writing, and my sponsor made me go back over it again and again until I just uncovered some of my motives. And she got to know me very, very well, which helped enormously. And after taking the fifth step with her, the freedom that came with that was wonderful. It was the first time that I shared that I planned to murder my husband in great, great hell. I had that level of anger. The control went out of control, and the anger became so ingrained that it was a miracle, and I thank God that I didn't do it today. And then when it came to the sixth step and been entirely ready to have God move my defects, I was not entirely ready for quite a while. And so it took time for the higher power and asked him to humbly remove my shortcomings. And I see now what happened was he repeatedly brought things right into my attention to be dealt with and healed away as time went on. I realized that the higher power was doing for me what I certainly couldn't do for myself. And then I wrote my 8-step list. And my three children were top of the list. But it took some time before they wanted to hear anything I wanted to say to them in that way. So taking one at a time, and there's still one that only half accepted what I was saying and has difficulty with me today. But I'm doing my best, and I ask the higher power on a regular basis to help me with that. My parents died, so in order to make my amends to my parents, I had a lot of work to do. Did that through the rest of my family, through developing better relationships with them, because in the meantime, my wonderful sister died just 10 years ago. And that's this month, so sorry. And so I come to the 10th step. And the 10th step, continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. This step teaches me to become aware of myself and my feeling on a daily basis. Is that Yvonne? No. When I wake up, I thank God I thank my God for the day. And I check in to see how I'm feeling. And I then hop out and go on my knees and hand over my day. And I hand over to my higher power and ask my higher power to take care of my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And especially to give me the willingness to want what he wants for me today. Sometimes I don't want what he wants for today, as it turns out, but we work on that together too. So that's fine. And then later on in the day, I do a spot check every so often. But only if I feel charged. I know that that's kind of a stirring inside me that I recognize. And I recognize a higher power is pointing something out to me. And maybe I don't want to see, but I need to see it. And if I ignore it, it will continue to come up until I do something about it. And sometimes that might be to make an amends, or sometimes it might be to do a kindness for someone, or ring somebody that I had forgotten to call, that needed a call, or just maybe some help of some kind. And then I have to see if I have been resentful or if I have been unkind or say things that I didn't really mean to say, reacting to some situation. And some other times when I hear a critical, self-righteous tone in my voice, I know that's like a red light going on in my head. I know that there's something happening that I need to look at. And I sometimes need to ring my sponsor, or very often need to ring my sponsor, because I don't want to know. And she'll say, well, did you write very much about it? And I might say, well, no, or whatever. And she knows me well at this stage, so I go up and show up. And then finally, I have to make my amends in whatever way I at that point. I know in the last week, my daughter was here and I was reacting to her. And I was, there was a rant going on in my head and when she left. And then I needed to go to the hardware store for something. And I wasn't really very nice to the gentleman that I dealt with. And when I went home, I said, that was not a nice way to behave. So you need to go back down there and say you're sorry. And when I did, he told me he had no idea what I was talking about. But that didn't make any difference.
You've 1 minute, Mary, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Calling my sponsor helps a lot for me in order really delving into my 10th step on a daily basis. And when I go home, when I go to bed at night, I check in again and go over the day and have gratitude, have a chat with my higher power and say thank you for all of the different things that he has sent me on the day, including Louisa a few weeks ago. So I'm so grateful for life that I have today. I live on my own. Zoom has been such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I can go to meetings all around the world, and I can see my grandchildren. I have six beautiful, gorgeous grandchildren that I am so grateful for. And I love them so dearly. They are such a huge, huge blessing in my life. And I'd like to say this time, 2 weeks ago, I think, I should have been in Detroit at the World AA Convention, which I have been attending for a while. So my experience tells me that what you do is you save up enough money over the 5 years to go back to the next one. So it doesn't cost as much at Algar as you think it might. So I would certainly encourage you to go to Albuquerque. I just want to say thank you to the Irish people all around the world, and let them know that there are plenty of meetings in Ireland for when you come here, and I send you my love. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you so much, Mary. Love you loads. Amazing. Thank you. How are you feeling? Are you feeling all right? Yeah. Thank you, Mary. So, just to see where we're at. I'd like to now introduce
what time
you.
Do you need me to come back for? Do you need me to do the surrender again?
At 5:15, please, Mary.
Okay.
Thank you so much. So I'd like to introduce you to Noreen from County Kilkenny. As far as I know, and I'm sure you'll keep me right here, Noreen, it's in the southeast of Ireland. And again, Noreen will share for 15 minutes on step 10. And then afterwards, we'd love to hear from our membership, our fellowship, on your thoughts on step 10 also. And so we'll do that after we hear from Noreen. And Noreen, like Mary, I will remind you at 14 minutes that you have a minute to go. Thank you so much, Noreen. Love you loads and thanks again. You unmute yourself, Noreen. There you go.
Yes, I've unmuted. Yeah. Good afternoon, fellow sisters and brothers in Al-Anon. I really feel privileged to be asked to share on step 10 today. It certainly has given me an opportunity. I mightn't have said that last week, but it certainly has given me an opportunity to look in more depth about step 10. So just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the second eldest of five children, and I was born and reared in Dublin, living here in Kilkenny for the past 12 years in rural Ireland, a complete contrast. And I grew up in a family that was very strict, authoritarian, ultra-religious, home base. We were well educated and well fed, but our emotional needs weren't met. Both my parents were really hard workers, but workaholics, really. My mother was a stay-at-home mum, and she kept five university students as well as the five children. So really, there was very little fun and laughter in our house. We had no voice at all. I was my father's pet, so that had complications and has with siblings over the years as well. So hence, I had to take on a lot of behaviours to survive and to sort of hope that some of my needs would be met in that environment. My parents have well passed now, and God bless them. They gave me great qualities, but I know today, and with making all my amends to them and that over the years, that they did the very best that they could. And I like to think of somebody said to me once, if you never learn French, you can't teach French. So my parents hadn't learned much about the emotional needs and that of their children, so hence how could they actually give it. So when I came into Al-Anon, I came in on the 14th, Valentine's Day in 1990. Seems a long time ago, but it's 24 hours at a time. And sometimes I say, oh my goodness, I should be a lot better. But we know there's no should be's in Al-Anon. I came in because my husband was drinking heavily. We had two children, a three-year-old girl and a one-and-a-half-year-old boy. They're in their 30s now, and they're doing very well on their journey. They have certainly been affected by their upbringing, but looking, it's their journey, and they're doing well, thank God. When I came into Al-Anon first, I was really only existing really in fear. And Al-Anon, slowly but surely, I have to say, I'm a very slow unlearner. And yesterday I was listening into a workshop there on sponsorship, Mary Pearl and Rick. And Rick started off by saying, I'm a really, really slow learner. I am a very, very slow unlearner. But that's okay. I've learned through the program. There's no expectations. No one is judging me. And that's the wonderful thing about the program. So slowly but surely, you know, I got in touch with those hidden, unvoiced feelings inside me. I really own the good ones and not so good, but I really only knew sorrow and joy. I could only identify that when I came into the program first. And I'm a really grateful member in that, like all the wonderful people that have shared their experience, strength and hope with me over the years. And I am very fortunate to have two priceless sponsors and my sober husband, who have shared and mapped out the steps at various stages for me during my journey. And certainly Al-Anon has no borders. For me, certainly hasn't had. I was at an AA Al-Anon convention 5 years ago in Atlanta. There were 87,000 people at it for a day. And it was just probably the highlight of my journey in Al-Anon. Certainly one had no doubts about the power of this higher power by being there and being present. You could actually feel it. But there I met this beautiful lady called Carol, and she's living in Missouri. She was giving a workshop on sponsorship, and she did have Irish connections. So we had a little chat, and just straight away from her sharing and that, I just knew I wanted something of what she had. And so we exchanged emails, and that's 5 years ago, but actually I didn't connect with her until a year and a half ago when I was really desperate. I was just consumed with fear with something that was going on in my life, and I just couldn't let go and let God. And I never forgot about Cara, that she did leave a lasting impact. And I contacted her and she remembered me as well. And since then, I asked her, would she be my sponsor? And she very generously said yes. And she's been sponsoring me since. And also on top of that, just no borders. She set up a Marco Polo WhatsApp between her sponsees and myself at the beginning of COVID. And we got a little exercise to do every day. like what's good in your day today. And it's lovely because they're 6 hours behind me. So I'd be going to bed at night and I'd have a lovely little thought for the day or whatever with one of her sponsees checking in. And then the following morning, I might wake up and there'd be a few messages there for me as well. So that was absolutely, I just couldn't, just that's beyond my belief, really. I also have a sponsee in Minneapolis. And also I had the privilege of having sort of holidays in Florida for about 5 years in a row. And the highlight of our holidays was my husband and I was going to meetings. It was like a retreat. We'd go for a month. And there I met a few wonderful Al-Anon members. And I am Zooming in. I've reconnected with them after 5 years in the Zoom meetings twice a week. So that's all. That's so certainly the reaching out and stretching. And I have to be grateful for all my Irish Al-Anon friends, and especially my first sponsor, Marie, you know, who've all really helped me on my journey. So let me get down to step 10 now. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Yeah. Step 10 for me, I'm striving really on a daily basis to become the best version of myself, the person who God created me to be. And step 10 to me, well, it's a maintenance step. It's a growth step. It's a daily reprieve, a daily honest housekeeping inventory of, you know, all the shortcomings that I have, really. And by doing this, my aim really is to ease, or to actually free myself up of sort of guilt, shame, various like expectations, indecision, resentments. I could go on and on with all the different shortcomings that I encounter in various times and various days. So balancing my inner and outer life is always a challenge. And this step helps me really to respond to any nudges, small nudges from my higher power. And usually they're big ones because I'm such a control freak. I really have to get a jolly big toe in the backside sometimes to actually make a change. That's the way. I have to be up against the wall. And I've learned that. Difficult to accept, but it is the reality. I have to really be up against the wall to actually make a major change, and even small changes in my life, you know. So each morning I take a bit of quiet time when I'm one of the privileged people who's retired. And each morning I take quiet time to myself, and I actually go on my knees when I'm saying the third step prayer. And that prayer is handing over my will and my life for the day. Now, just a few months ago, I never really understood free me from the bondage of self. We were tied down in cots and beds growing when we were growing up, in case we'd fall out of the bed, but anyway, probably convenient as well. But, you know, so I always felt really tied, and I didn't really ever look into that word. But when fear overtook me there recently, you know, fear is huge in my life. I looked at, and probably, I think it was the help of my husband, really, I just couldn't let go, and, you know, and just stop fearing. But when I understood the word bondage of self, really, it was my self-centeredness. And the previous speaker from South Africa there mentioned my self-centeredness, my selfishness, my perfectionism, all of that. That's what my ego wasn't allowing myself to trust in my higher power. I feel I have great faith in the higher power, but it just wasn't happening for me. So I realized that fear, faith is the other side of fear, the other side of the coin. So today now, when I feel fear, as soon as I become aware of it, I ask my higher power to please help me to put faith in its place. And I see the higher power now very much on my shoulder. It's the God of my understanding. It is male or female. I just a presence that's there on my shoulder, looking after me and guiding me. And it's taken me a long time to really get that closeness. I was brought up in the older type of, as Mary said there last, the pious. But I mean, I have a whole new vision and belief in a higher power that's loving and loves me and just accepts me as I am and isn't putting any pressure on me to make major changes. So during the day then, when I get an uncomfortable feeling in my belly, in my gut, and I never could identify that when I came into Al-Anon, my head was separate. I didn't know what my heart or my belly was. And when I get that uncomfortable feeling now, I have it, you know, I just check in, like, was it somebody I spoke to? Was it the phone? Was it a flippant remark? And I check the feeling. Can I identify what the feeling? And that takes me a little bit of time to actually name it. And then I try and look at what my part in it is in it. And then I do try to make amends if I have the courage and if I'm able to do it. But the word promptly there in step 10 is huge for me. I find it very hard to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you know, and it's something I'm working on a daily basis. I also have a pattern of justifying my actions, a huge pattern. And instead of just being able to say promptly, look, I'm sorry, you know, and it's something that is a challenge for me on a daily basis. And it's, you know, it's doing my daily inventory that makes me realize that I still have to work on that, you know. So I actually see a problem rather than a solution. And that's my negativity, which I have to look at and, you know, reuse the tools of Al-Anon to change that attitude or whatever. So then when I go to bed each night, I go on my knees, and my sponsor has very much really emphasized that to me, that I'm making myself in humility, that I go on my knees and talk to my higher power and just see how my day has gone and the good and the not so good. And I do have a checklist, really, and a few of those things on my checklist. What have I received today? And that kind of embraces the gratitude of everything. The beautiful robin that comes out and sits by my side when I'm doing some gardening, or, you know, all the beautiful, the phone call or whatever it is, grateful for to be able to get out of bed in the morning. And then another thing I ask myself, well, what have I given today? What have I given to myself and to others? You know, and the biggie, I suppose, for me is putting myself first. That doesn't come easy, and the care, the pleaser and all that sort of thing. And okay. Another question. Sorry, yeah.
1 minute, okay.
1 minute, yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
So I check those for myself, sorry. And I crave approval and, you know, all my life, people pleasing. So a big revelation for me, it's opened a Pandora box, is truth and dishonesty. You know, I actually thought I was a very honest person, but I've discovered, well, someone that is afraid to say no, or someone that people pleases or is afraid of conflict, how could I really be emotionally honest if I'm still in that phase? So I do work, I'm working hard on that. I know, I say to myself, well, easy does it. I know that I only take action when the pain of discomfort gets so bad. That's for me. So through step 10, I know myself better now. I find that I am accountable if I want to make changes in my behavior. I certainly know that there's no growth in the comfort zone. No matter how old I get, step 10 lets me continue the challenge to change myself, and I need to look at myself with vigorous honesty, and it also helps me to improve my conscious contact with God. I know today that I am always held in the care of my higher power, who gives me courage and hope to change the things I can, which is myself. I know I'm slowly developing positive habits to replace destructive ones, so that I can spend more time and energy in the present moment. So I'm continuously striving to be happy, joyous, free, and serene, and truly alive. So you know, so that's really my sharing on step 10. And I really thank you so much for being there, and for the world, the Al-Anon Without Borders, and to all of you, Yvonne and Louisa, and everybody that has helped this to come together. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Noreen. It was fantastic to hear both yourself and Mary. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you. And so the chat is open, and we'd love to hear from you if